I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do you remember when we were friends in the 80s?
In the 80s.
Do you remember when we was friends back then?
It was acceptable then.
Those 40 years have gone so far.
Hello and welcome to Acceptable in the 80s. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. How you been?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, fucking lockdown shite, isn't it? I've had enough of it now.
Yeah, I'm...
Not that it was fun at first.
Well, no, it was a little bit more fun at first because it was sunny.
Yeah.
So you could, like, it was holiday mode, wasn't it? It was all having little cold beers in the garden and it was nice. And then now it's like the snow's gone and it's just pissing down.
I'll just listen to Colonel Abrams Trapped on repeat.
Do you feel that kind of incarcerated?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that was a concept record? Do you think Colonel Abrams was trapped? I'd love to think it was something about a kind of record deal that he was locked into, but I bet it weren't. Did he write it?
Yeah, he wrote it. They shut him in the studio until he finished it.
It's a good tune, that.
Oh, it's a fucking banging tune, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like them 80s, kind of electro-y records with a black soulful voice over it. I think that fucking, just be good to me.
More examples.
Just be good to me.
What, the Zap Band?
Yeah.
No, SOS Band.
SOS Band, yeah.
Do you know what? The synths on that, like the full version of that, how it builds,
yeah,
is fucking brilliant.
And like the Jam and Lewis stuff, the Alex O'Neill stuff, yeah. It's synth pop, but with a black soulful voice over it. That fucking does the business for me.
When you listen to that early Alex O'Neill stuff, like Innocent and What's Missing and things like that, you can tell the kind of Prince influence because it was that whole kind of Minneapolis thing, but it was just kind of synthy, heavy pop with a bit of, I guess, what they'd call funk.
Yeah.
Big fan of funk, are you?
No, I'm not a funky bloke, am I? I've got no fucking rhythm ever whatsoever. I'm probably the least funky person in the fucking world.
Do you think you've ever had a little dance where you've just thought, yep?
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, I can't remember one isolated incident where I felt funky, but there's been a couple of times where I've been on stage and I've just caught the rhythm of one of my songs. You're like, do you know what? I can fucking do this, but I can't because like 2 bars later I'm back out of time again. I've got no fucking rhythm whatsoever. Obviously, I've got fantastic timing as a musician and entertainer, but dancing-wise, no fucking rhythm. That's why I gave it up.
Do you think there should be a kind of cut-off? Because at 47, do you think that's too old to dance? Not on stage. Like, you're out and about, you've had a couple of beers, and probably me's gone, come on, let's just pop in this club. Come on, it'd be a laugh.
What would I dance on in that instance? I'm trying to think of when was the last time I danced? The last time I danced was when your brother came over from Australia. And we all went out round London on a pub crawl and all had a little bit too much to drink. And your brother ended up getting wedged in the fucking, what was that trendy pub where they were trying to do trendy bingo, beardy bingo in the fucking blue,
good mixer,
the old blue last.
Old blue last, yeah.
And your brother ended up getting a fucking wedgie and we all danced to some indie song while everyone else was sat there trying to play bingo. That's the last time I danced and probably the last time before that was over 10 years before that.
Do you know what? That was that prime example of when like a load of blokes think they're the funniest people at the party and everyone else is just thinking, wankers.
Yeah.
Like, if I was sitting there and that lot walked in, I'd just be like, fucking idiots.
Yeah, it's just a load of sad old pricks that don't get to go out much anymore in a trendy place.
I think that was the name of the album on Facebook. Oh, dear. Well, look, should we start, as always, with having a little look at the charts, what was going on in February. We should point that out, it's February 1981, isn't it?
Yeah, so 81.
So we've been pals for what will it be?
A few months.
Yeah, a few months now. So at number one, Specials.
Was
Yeah, Too Much Too Young. Have I got this wrong?
You've got 1980.
Oh, did you do the music for 1980 as well?
Right.
Fucking hell. Well, look, we need to point this out.
Have you just followed the 1980 link?
No, I just thought the films were 1980. The music was as well. Unbelievable. Yeah, it is. It's fucking... Right, okay, let's switch things up. Right, so just to give you a bit of context here, I asked Cunt to do the... I didn't even ask. He got all excited and done the prep and sent me over all the stuff. So I was like, oh, brilliant. So I've gone through it all. Then you left me a message going, I've been a bit of a dick and I've just got the year wrong. So I was like, oh, okay. So all the films we're probably going to talk about tonight are going to be from 1980, but I've just updated the music to 1981. So we can have a look where we're at. There's not been a huge change since... the last episode, and I base that purely on the fact that there's some huge records out that we're obviously not going to fuck off for a while.
I'm going to come around there and see what you got up
there. Oh, okay. So I should point out, obviously, we're fresh off the back of John Lennon dying, and have you literally just checked the date?
No.
February 1981. What are you doing?
I'm working from the chart at the end of February.
Oh, okay. We might see some more significant charts. Ah, right. Good. All right. Well done. Okay. You've redeemed yourself, mate. Right.
So you can shut up, you face.
Right. Well, see what you've done there. Joe Dolce wasn't even Italian, was he?
What?
No, I think he was from like Scunthorpe or something like that.
But he looks Italian.
Where was Joe Dolce from? Let's have a little look. I'm going to Google this. So, I mean, it's a well said story, isn't it, that Joe Dolce had this huge number one American Australian singer songwriter
from Scunthorpe.
I just wanted to kind of make it the least Italian I possibly could. So, yeah, that famously kept off Vienna from number one.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
What, about Joe Dolce keeping Vienna off number one?
Yeah. Are you a fan of Vienna?
Yeah. Yeah, I am, yeah. I mean, like, it's one of these things that, in time, it's become one of these kind of overblown 80s kind of excess things, isn't it, Vienna? That you wouldn't have got away with really at any other time. But I don't know, it is a good record.
Yeah, when the chorus drops, you do think, oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it's got lots of bits to it as well, you know. But then Shut Up Your Face is a good record as well.
Is it?
Yeah, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, I only ever see it on programmes.
Right, Sing Me Vienna.
The feeling has gone on to you and now it means nothing to me. Oh, Vienna. But I don't know the
No, I'm asking you to do the whole thing.
Right, don't
ask me to sing Shut Up Your Face.
Sing Shut Up Your Face.
What's the matter, you? Hey, got no respect to hey. Oh, Shut Up Your Face. isn't it? It just fucking gets you up on the dance floor. Like, Vienna's just a bit, it's a bit serious, isn't it? Like, after Vienna,
Well, that's not going to get you on the dance floor, is it?
Nah, but like, here we are, stuck in lockdown for fucking, it's been 40 fucking something days just in this lockdown.
Where's Joe Dolce?
A year of being locked down. If someone said to me, what do you want to hear next, Vienna or Joe Dolce? I'm fucking Joe Dolce every day.
All right, I'll leave you fucking Joe Dolce and I'm going to go down the charts to number 3, I Surrender by Rainbow.
I think I would have had a rainbow patch on my heavy metal jacket that I wore briefly for about 6 months in the late 80s.
So, we should touch on this, because you went metal, didn't you?
I thought I'd bring it up before you did.
Well, it was weird, because we weren't into metal.
No, we weren't, no.
But you come back from a boot sale once, and I remember you had your Judas Priest cap.
Yeah, do you know why?
No.
It's because I have my own mind and I didn't have to like everything you liked.
So I remember just thinking, he don't like Judas Priest.
Yeah, but it was 20p.
All right.
I didn't know anything they'd done.
Well, there you go. Like, and then all of a sudden you had like a denim jacket and like, and then you started trying to tell me that Iron Maiden were good.
I cut the arms off the denim jacket and I put a patch on the back. Iron Maiden were good. Iron Maiden were basically girls allowed for metal. I don't sound great, does it?
No.
No.
I never got it. And
I thought Iron Maiden had proper pop songs, but they were just done in like in a kind of fairly soft heavy metal style.
I've got a memory of I Surrender. And there was a bloke, like a teenager that lived at the end of the road, like the first house in on the left, and he had like a motorbike. And his name was Anton. That's a fucking geezer's name, isn't it?
I don't know, Anton the dancer on Strictly.
That's a good point. Anton was like a bloke, and I remember he had like a black kind of vest, but not like a vest, he had like the kind of one with just the sleeves cut off.
Yeah.
And like he had that and a motorbike, and he was handsome. And I remember, like, and he had a fag on. And he was probably only about, like, 17. But I remember thinking Anton was the coolest geezer ever. And I remember, like, walking home from wherever it was and walking into the street. And he was working on his bike. And I remember him just going, all right. And I was like, all right. And, like,
I remember that day you said you got your first hard on.
But in the background, I can remember vividly hearing, I surrender! I surrender!
That's like something off Cobra Kai.
Yeah, yeah, that would sit nicely on Cobra Kai, that. Like, and up until now, I never knew that was Rainbow.
Oh, really?
No.
You thought Rainbow was like fucking Jeffrey and Zippy and that.
At that point, 100%.
It'd be a very different record, wouldn't it?
They are, yeah. I mean, we've still got like the aftermath of the resurgence of the chart success of Lennon in the sort of wake of his assassination, and up from 21 to 6, Roxy Music, Jealous Guy.
Yeah, the superior version.
Honestly, believe that?
Nope, not anymore. Because I've grown and I've changed and I was able to reconsider it, you know, and I was mature enough to say, you know, maybe I was wrong to say that Roxy Music's version of Jealous Guy was better than John Lennon's. You know, I don't have to stick by that opinion just because I had it once, and I think that's part of growing as a person and an individual, that you look back on some of the things you said in the past, you change your opinion about them, you know, and you don't dwell on these things, just move on. Move on.
Credit ass. At number 7, Return of Lost Palmer 7, Madness. I mean, that's an interesting single, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is an interesting single. I thought there was more kind of singly singles on. Absolutely, wasn't it?
Mm.
Like an instrumental with just a little fucking goodnight at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of...
I mean, it's good.
Oh, I fucking love it. I love it. But you don't kind of... I mean, I'll say you don't get it anymore. I don't know. I don't listen to the charts anymore, apart from when I was in it briefly last month. But the month before last. It's fucking old news, isn't it? It's chip wrapper already. Fuck's sake.
We put that to bed in the last one. You're yesterday's news, mate.
Not even yesterday's. It's the fucking day before yesterday. Last it's year's. Even worse, yeah.
Well, for track eight...
Can I just say, though...
Go for it.
I had a higher chart position than the Smiths ever got. Well, I'm not saying I'm better than the Smiths. That's for everyone else to decide.
How many bands have you Googled to see?
Just the Smiths.
Mention that, should you ever meet Morrissey.
Oh, it's eating him up, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Number eight is probably my earliest memory of Top of the Pops.
Oh, really? What's that then?
It's Coast to Coast with Do the Hucklebuck.
Yeah, I remember Do the Hucklebuck.
And for listeners that aren't old cunts, I've just had a chilli peanut and it's really strong.
They've got a proper kick, haven't they? Mm.
Do the Hucklebuck was one of them kind of resurgence of like Teddy Boy kind of rockabilly, rock and roll. And it was, you do the Hucklebuck, you do the Hucklebuck. And I remember, like, he had like a couple of girls, like, dressed in like 50s style, dancing with him. And I remember thinking, whoa, when I was really young. And I remember, like, really liking the song and just desperately hoping, like, if I watched Top of the Pops, they were going to be on there. And I think the week I watched it, they dropped. So it was like, oh, they're not going to be on there, are they?
Boo.
Mm. Number nine, Southern Freeze by Freeze. I love that.
What's that? Oh, that's that. I never knew what that was. Yeah.
It's good, that.
Yeah.
Is that the same Freeze that done A-E-A-E-R-O-U?
I don't know.
It must be.
There can only be one Freeze, can't there?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I love I-O-U.
Yeah, it's good, that.
Yeah. Bit of Arthur Baker, that.
Yeah. So what was Arthur Baker's involvement in it? Was that him? Was that his band? No, or did he just produce it?
Oh, do you know what? I'm not qualified enough to say. Out on Beggar's Banquet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At number 10, The Oldest Swinger in Town by Fred Wedlock.
But see, that was one of those records, like Shut Up Your Face, and you're like, Arthur Daly, he's all right. There was a lot of them in the kind of late 70s and early 80s, like Baron Knights, them kind of comedy songs.
Yeah.
That entered the charts, you know, and you don't see it so much anymore. I mean, there was one in December, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that much anymore.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, a bit of a rarity, that, nowadays.
I'm trying to think...
Well, I don't want to dwell on it, though. Let's move on.
All right, yeah. Okay, we'll move on. Yeah, so a lot of them are dropping. There was all of the top 10 to 20 are all dropping, so we've spoke about most of them. What other new entries have we got here?
I'll tell you what I did make a note of. I know we talked about Fade to Grey. Mm. But
anniversary of his death last week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
How many years?
Oh. Four or five, I reckon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's amazing, that record.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you like any other of his Arge records?
Not that spring to mind, do you?
I like... I do like Mind of a Toy. When we did this sort of early 80s club in Soho, sort of very briefly, around the time of the Romo scene.
Mm.
And I was DJing with this kind of confidence trickster who got me to do it for nothing. And I used to play Mind of a Toy there. So there was a lot of kind of Gary Numan, you know, like Numanoids turned up there.
Mm.
And I'd play When a Child Grows Out of Toys. It's one of them kind of serious 80s records, like Vienna.
Gary Numan was a serious man, wasn't he?
He was. He did seem serious, didn't he?
See, we went to see Numan, didn't we?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Last year? No, year before. We don't count last year, do we?
No, it's weird. That's the thing, is you think it was last year, but nothing happened last year, did it?
I left halfway through. I thought it was rubbish. You stuck about, didn't you?
Yeah, but you fucked off before he'd done Cars, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't think he played anything I'd heard in the first, like, 40 minutes, but I'm not a Numanoid.
Like, it was... They say it about Cliff's Pavilion, though. I don't know. I don't really like Cliff's Pavilion as a venue. Like, when it's not completely fucking rammed, it's a big old venue to fill. Mm. And there was quite a bit of space at the back. And I don't know, I think if you're kind of not in the throng of it, then you kind of lose the atmosphere a bit, and the kind of gig disappears off into the spaces.
Yeah. That's Entertainment by The Jam, Up to 21 from 26. That's a good record.
I would class that in great records that I could happily never fucking hear again.
It is a great record, but it's a bit of a Virgin Radio special, isn't it? You're going to get that a lot.
Like, every now and then, you know, I'll be out and kind of that'll come on the radio and it'll sound fucking amazing. And then the other 25 times I'll just turn it over because just fucking, I've just heard it too much. Yeah. But it's a good record, isn't it? But
yeah.
Why do you think songs like that get played so often? Just because they're good.
I think it's as simple as that. I really do. I was really searching my brain there for an answer, and it was like, I think it's just because it's good.
Yeah, but like, why does it get played so often? There's lots of records that are really good that you never fucking hear.
See, Down in the Tube Station at Midnight's better, but I think it's maybe a little bit more abrasive for a lot more daytime radio stations, whereas That's Entertainment is fundamentally an acoustic record, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing is, we want a fucking rock band doing an acoustic record.
Hmm.
Do you know my two least favourite rock bands doing acoustic records?
Go on.
What's that fucking extreme one? More Than Words.
Yep.
And Mr. Big, Be With You.
Oh. They're both really bad records.
Oh, they're dog shit, aren't they?
Yeah.
But the thing is some of our listeners will have got like smelly fingers whilst listening to them.
Well, ironically, have I told you about our mutual friend Just?
I don't know.
Have I told you the extreme story?
Nah.
So
is this going to be like him with his arsehole clamped open, or is this
nothing
the
like
band
that.
Extreme?
The band extreme. And Cunt and I were obviously in bands, and as was our mutual friend Justin. And Justin was in like a sort of comedy band not too far from where we were, and we all sort of knew each other through the gig scene, and we'd become like, you know, good mates now. But I worked with him and his wife for many, many years. And one day we were just talking about like how we met our wives and like first dates and stuff. And I was sort of chatting away. Just, oh, yeah, you know, just went down the pub and had a drink and, you know. And then Just's wife went, yeah. And, yeah, we went out and had a drink. And then, yeah, we just kind of went back to his. And it was really lovely. Like, you know, I knew that he'd done bands and stuff like that. And, yeah, we were just sort of sitting on his bed and he just got a guitar out. And then I just kind of looked at him and he just had a look. I mean, he's a total fucking helmet and never gets embarrassed by anything. And the look of fear as to where this story was going to go, because he was sitting in an office with a couple of like indie muso pricks like me and my mate Paul. And she went, what was that song you sung? And he went, I can't remember. Like trying to wrap the conversation up. And she went,
no, didn't they?
She went, oh, it was that More Than Words. And now you just think, oh dear. Like, that's never, ever, ever going to be forgotten. That's now out in the public domain that on your first date, you serenaded your missus by playing More Than Words. Would you ever serenade a bird with More Than Words if you thought, well, I might end up having a kiss and cuddle out of it?
Yeah, probably.
I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Fuck off, Mr. No, Integrity.
No, I'm not Mr. Integrity.
No, because he's got that fucking diminished call that you wouldn't be able to get, that's why.
Not even that.
You'd have just done Be With You instead.
Like, I think, like, I'd have no shame. I would literally just fucking, smile on your face. I would happily do any of that. But I could not go, saying I love that. I hated that band. Like, I really hated them.
Listen, if you don't like what you see here, get the funk out.
Get the funk out. Who has a record called Get the Funk Out? Like, they really got on my tits, that band.
Yeah, dog shit.
Do you know what really annoyed me? Because at that point, I really liked Jane's Addiction, right? Nuno Bettencourt ended up in a band with Perry Farrell.
Who's Nuno Bettencourt? The singer?
The guitarist. The prettier one of the two. More Than Words is shit.
Nah, it's right. I hated rock ballads. What was the Poison one? Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Every Rose. Oh, that era of music, really bad.
Is it just rock ballads in general? What about, are there any rock ballads you like? I'll tell you one of my worst ones. One of my worst ones is Aerosmith's. Don't want to close my eyes. Oh. Don't want to go to sleep because I miss you. Like the idea you can't go to sleep because you miss your bird too much. You're just going to make yourself ill, mate. So get a bit of kip and then bang her in the morning. She'll still be there.
Yeah, if she snores, sleep downstairs. Pop up in the morning, get your fingers wet. Oh, yeah, I'll just... A rock ballad. Is there a good one?
I like... Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory. But then is that a ballad? Or is it a kind of cowboy song? Because I don't like... I will love you.
I wish he's going to see the face he pulls. Always.
Well, you got to play. You got to fucking do the face and do the song, haven't you?
Yeah. I would say that's a rock ballad. That would be on a power ballads album.
What, Blaze of Glory?
Yeah.
But Blaze of Glory, I like as a, if that's a rock ballad, I like it.
Yeah.
Because he's singing about a cowboy.
On a steel horse I ride.
Yeah, who's not... And that's Wanted Dead or Alive, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, isn't it?
But,
he's shot down in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, it's a cowboy who's not singing a sad, sad song like In Every Rose Has His Thorn. Do you think of any good rock ballads?
Is a rock ballad a power ballad? No, it's not, is it?
No, power ballads are more pop... Yeah. And like Jennifer Rush's Power of Love, I think, is a power ballad.
Yeah, definitely. A rock ballad.
That's a band that normally do rock songs, doing something a bit slower.
Have Guns N' Roses got one?
Yeah. Hey, sugar, take it slow, everything will be all right.
What's that?
All we need is just a little patience. That's fun, isn't it?
Now you say the word patience. I've heard people say patience, referring to that band. Oh, it's like you try to look sexy when you sung that. It was a bit weird.
Didn't mean to turn you on.
Oh, is that a power ballad?
That's a rock ballad.
It's a rock ballad, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's a rock band doing
a ballad. I was talking about I didn't mean to turn you on.
I didn't mean to turn. No, that's too fucking. That's urgent.
Yeah.
That's an urgent. I told you twice. I was only trying to be nice. Only trying to be nice. I didn't mean to turn you. I fucking love that phrase. I didn't mean to turn you. He was such a sexy bloke. He accidentally turned people on.
Couldn't help it.
Oh, fucking. I can only dream of that.
Like, I see something the other day and it was like, I don't know what kind of documentary I was watching, but it was all about. It was like they're all standing behind a desk recording the Power Station album. And so it was like John Taylor and Roger Taylor? Like, all like their hair was outrageous.
Yeah, it was like fucking Princess Di or George Michael, and it was just big old fucking quiffs. And
but Robert Palmer just had a shirt on and his standard haircut, and you just think, yeah, he's smooth.
Yeah.
The heat. Like,
he used to scrub his fingers, but he couldn't get the smell of fannies off them.
He was quite literally addicted to love. Oh dear! Do you reckon like there was that song was meant to be called "Addicted to Love Making"? But they were like, "Look, Robert, no,
it don't scam, mate.
It don't work, mate." Like, climbing the charts from 35 to 24, Once in a Lifetime, Talking Heads. What a ruddy, bloody great record that
ain't
is.
Ain't it? Yeah.
I mean, I've got nothing but amazing things to say about that record.
Yeah.
Don't sound like anything else.
No, it's cracking, isn't it?
Yeah. Toya is shooting up the stars with Four from Toya EP.
Have you seen any of Toya's lockdown videos?
What am I missing?
Have you seen them?
Might have done.
She just covers some songs.
Yeah.
With her husband, Robert Fripp.
That's good of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, loads of people cover songs and put them on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Nice of the two of them to appear in lockdown.
I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. It was fantastic, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. Right, let's move on from music. Okay. Right. Films. So we're going to go from films from 1980 because that's what we've prepped for.
Well, there weren't any fucking... There was one film, wasn't there, in February 1981, and what was it? I don't know, some fucking horror one that I hadn't really seen.
Valentine's Day something, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm thinking... Bloody Valentine, it was called.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, never seen it. So in 1980, stop me if you've seen any of these, Inferno.
No, I've not seen that.
Cannibal Holocaust.
I have seen that.
So there was a bit of a thing for like cannibal films, wasn't there, around then?
Yeah, but this was just this was one of those kind of, you know, just like video nasties, wasn't it? Cannibal Holocaust, like,
yeah.
my mum and dad would get out video nasties on a Saturday night, and they'd have their friends over, and their friends had two kids as well, and we'd have to go to bed, and then they'd all sit up, and my mum would go and make rounds of cheese and tomato sandwiches. And they'd all watch a video nasty.
That's a good Saturday night, isn't it?
I know, yeah. That's the dream, isn't it? But
what's the equivalent there?
Pot noodle and a wank.
I mean, to give people a visual on Cannibal Holocaust, the sleeve is a naked woman with that has been kind of placed on a kind of spear planted in the ground, and it obviously looks like it goes through her jacksie and then out of her mouth. It looks quite brutal.
So the premise of it was a team go out in search of an American film crew who've gone out to the Amazon rainforest to find tribes of cannibals, right? And I did a little Google on it, and this is, and I quote, I'm reading verbatim from Wikipedia here. Cannibal Holocaust achieved notoriety as its graphic violence aroused a great deal of controversy. After its premiere in Italy, it was ordered to be seized by a local magistrate, and the director, Diodato, was arrested on obscenity charges. He was later charged with multiple counts of murder due to rumours that claimed several actors were killed on camera. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? To have that on your fucking CV, that you've done a film so realistic. People think that people actually fucking died
he
in
got,
it.
Did he get... Or is that all it says? Did it say if he got sentenced? Like, I mean, that's mental.
They hung him.
That's bollocks.
Yeah, that's...
They ate him. Oh, dear. I mean, I saw that, like, a mutual friend that we went to Cubs with, called Stuart.
Yeah, he liked a bit of Cannibal Holocaust, didn't he?
Like, yeah, and he had one. I'm sure he had one called Cannibal Ferox.
I saw Cannibal Ferox as well. I can't remember anything about it. I remember it being much the fucking same.
It's just going to be horrible, isn't
it? What was the one where they cut some woman's knocker off?
I can't remember.
Was that Cannibal Ferox?
Probably. It was really horrible.
Do you remember people saying about snuff films at school?
Yeah.
Did you ever see one?
No. Like, I do remember, like, snuff was a thing at my school as well. Did snuff ever find it at your school?
Yeah, it did. Because it was just something a bit illicit, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I remember, like, we'd all go, because there was a place where we used to go every Saturday in Grays, where there was a thing called the smoker's shop. And you could go in there and, like, there'd always be, like, a kind of glass display thing of, like, pipes and, like, you know, expensive lighters and, like, smoking paraphernalia.
Was that the same shop where we got caught looking at that book about how to make a baby?
No, that was in Menzies. That was in John Menzies.
No, that weren't. That was in that little fucking... Oh, no, it weren't in the smoker shop.
Saxons.
It was Saxons.
Yeah.
We'd gone down Grays, hadn't we, with our mate James, and we were just we were far too old to be doing this, because we must have been like, what do you reckon, fucking 11 or 12?
Yeah.
And there was this book, How to Make a Baby, where they just had, oh cheers mate, where they just had lots of, like, you know, pictures of little cartoon characters. Mummy loves daddy very much, and they've decided they're going to make a baby. And there's this picture of this little cartoon character laying on top of the other one. And we was all sniggering at it. And James's dad just fucking walked in unbeknownst to us. And went, what are you looking at, lads? Nothing!
But I remember, like, going to the library and, like, looking for photography books.
Mm.
Like, you kind of find a good, like, kind of arty photography book. It'd be like, oh, tits.
There was one in the school library when I was a teenager. That had lots of African people in. And there was some very low-hanging...
tits
and bollocks, like some blokes that have cocks.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And bollocks is like down to their knees. But then if you didn't wear pants, is that what would happen?
Did we talk about King Dong in the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still haven't Googled him. But
there's worse things on your search history than King Dong.
American Gigolo, come out in 1980. Not seen that. I believe that was one of Richard Gere's kind of kind of breakthrough films.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. It says from Wikipedia, and I quote, Richard Gere plays a high-class male escort.
American Gigolo.
So why has he always got to have someone who's on the game in his films?
That's a very good point.
Hmm.
He was handsome, wasn't he?
He was handsome. Can I just read this next bit as well? The film is notable for establishing Gere as a leading man and was one of the first mainstream Hollywood films to include full frontal male nudity from its main star. I didn't know you could see his cock in it.
Nor did I. Have you seen The Fog?
No, I haven't seen The Fog. But I had a little Google and I saw it had Jamie Lee Curtis in it. So I would imagine it's probably worth watching because she did a lot of times in the 80s when the script required it, pop her bangers out.
She was bloody lovely, wasn't she?
She was, wasn't she? Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've not seen what she looks like now, but...
She looks the same. She's still tidy.
Yeah. The other films I know very little about... Midnight Madness, Cruising, Saturn 3, Foxes.
I didn't know anything about any others. Cruising, Al Pacino played a serial killer who targeted leather-clad gay men.
Hmm. Okay.
Midnight Madness was a Disney film with Michael J. Fox's first role.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Favourite Michael J. Fox film? So need to ask that?
Yeah, you can, and I'm going to give you a surprising answer. My favourite Michael J. Fox film, by a country mile, is Casualties of War.
Really?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I think it's harrowing to watch, but I think he puts in an insanely amazing performance. Of course I love Back to the Future. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf is one that, when it come out, I remember just thinking, this is the greatest thing ever.
Mm.
And it don't hold up that well now.
I've not seen Teen Wolf for a while. I've got a DVD of Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2. And I have to say, Teen Wolf is like fucking Citizen Kane compared to Teen Wolf 2. It's appalling.
Is that Jason Bateman?
It's Jason Bateman, but yeah. I think it was basically made by Jason Bateman's dad to get Jason Bateman on the ladder.
Right.
It worked. Yeah, it did, yeah.
I mean, Teen Wolf's dad is an incredible character. Like, he just looks brilliant. When he shuts that door and his dad's there with the full wolf get-up on.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
He's Dave Lee Travis, isn't it? When he came to the end of the path apologising for titting up a newsreader in the 80s. Exactly. He just thought, it's Teen Wolf's dad.
Well, what's yours?
Back of the Future by a fucking mile. I like Casualties of War, but... I went through a period of watching all the Vietnam films because I hadn't seen quite a few of them. And I thought Casualties of War was great, but the scenes in the jungle look like they're in a studio.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit at the start and the end where he sees a Chinese woman who reminds him of the Vietnam War. And then at the end, you kind of like, so every time you see a Chinese person, it reminds you of the Vietnam War. And it feels a bit like nowadays, they might have made a different decision about the start and end of it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but yeah, like, I really like that, you know, and there's some fucking great Vietnam films, isn't there?
Well, there's a thing that I watched last week, bizarrely, on Netflix. They've just added this thing, it's Netflix or Prime, about Platoon.
Yeah.
And it's all the cast now talking about making that film and the process that it involved Oliver Stone taking them there, not really feeding them, like giving them no... like kind of, you know, Hollywood kind of privileges.
Yeah.
And stripping them down, keeping them all together until they kind of... And he brought in somebody that served there to kind of put them through this kind of... this procedure that would get them in that mindset. And it's really interesting because you forget that... like, no one really knew who Johnny Depp was then. And like... Kevin Dillon and... I'm trying to think... is it Tommy Lee... what's his name? Tom Berenger.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe. Like, these weren't like household names then. Probably Tom Berenger, probably the most. And they're all sitting there saying, like, it was harrowing. We were starving. We were like, you know.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was really interesting. Like, a proper. I mean, and obviously, like, Charlie Sheen, he was saying that he'd been there before because he was there with his dad when his dad shot Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Like, so. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, it's an interesting watch. Just kind of getting a little bit of backstory on it, because I mean, that's one of the best ones, isn't it, for that kind of thing?
Yeah,
like, horrible as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is they're just so fucking horrible, aren't they? And you're just really glad that you ain't there.
Yeah. What's the most scared you've ever been? Not when you saw that pretend UFO.
I wasn't scared, I was just kind of mesmerised and thinking, you know, I'm just really lucky to have been here. In this country lane, seeing this UFO, where, like, Roy, he's just one of these blokes that, like, he's gone all these 40 years and he's never done anything fucking interesting or out of the ordinary. And, like, probably when I'll tell him, he'll just scoff at this when we do a podcast. But, like, actually, it's really something fucking amazing and people understand that and appreciate it, but he's just a cunt, so he don't.
Or a plane.
I don't know, I can't remember being really, really fucking scared. What, like watching a film or...
No, just in general. When have you ever just thought, shit?
Like a couple of... Just like a couple of times for a fucking split second, like, driving.
Yeah.
Can
you remember... Go on, sorry, give us an example. But I always think that I made this up now. But can you remember when we was at the traffic lights behind that lorry, and then that lorry pulled away and we didn't, and then all the shit from that lorry fell off the back?
That's what I was going to say about.
Do you remember that?
Because yeah.
We were going
to see the Inspiral Carpets, weren't we? Or...
something like that. We was going to London, and I remember just thinking, did I make that up?
No, we was on the A13. We was sat at the traffic lights, and these lorries just fucking pulled away, and this stuff just shot off the back of it. Mm. And it was like it was like ice or fucking sludge or something, and it just landed on the windscreen. And it sort of felt for a split second like we're going to die.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've often kind of half remembered that and told people, and I was like, have I just made that up?
No, right. I'm glad you fucking said that, because, yeah, it's a weird fucking half-memory, isn't it?
Mm.
That's the nearest I've come to feeling like Renee from Hello, Hello when that scaffolding pole shot off the back of the lorry.
Do you... You liked Hello, Hello, didn't you?
I wouldn't say I loved it.
You liked Duty Free, didn't you?
I fucking did love that. I really love Duty Free. But we were sort of going on a little bit of Spain around the time. I still love Duty Free. Because it was written by, was it Eric Chappell who wrote Rising Damp?
Was it?
And I just thought, as a sitcom, if you want someone fucking hiding in a wardrobe and, like, you know, someone who's unhappy with his life and he's unhappy with his wife, and here there's this kind of alluring bird who's a little bit younger than his wife and a little bit more middle class, and his wife's very northern and kind of working class, and he's got aspirations and delusions of grandeur in the same way that Rigsby has.
Rigsby, yeah.
And, like, there was a... What I sort of enjoyed about Duty Free was, like, the situations and just the fucking ridiculousness of it. And I still like it now. But what I like about it now is, basically, you can see Leonard Rossiter in Rising Damp is an absolute fucking masterclass in acting and timing and everything. And Keith Barron, he ain't quite Leonard Rossiter, but the writing's up to that standard.
Yeah.
And, like, I enjoy seeing him playing the part. I do fucking love Duty Free. And I know it's, like, it's one of them fucking throwaway sitcoms for a lot of people, but I really like it.
Well, we can talk telly now. And I'm going to pull up some TV guides that you've sent over from 1981. Well done.
Yeah, that was the second lot I sent over.
So you've chose a Sunday. And how rubbish were Sundays when you was a kid?
They were shit, weren't they? It took me a long while to get out of the fucking idea that Sundays are just... I mean, you just... Like, you're clock watching, aren't you, just for Sunday to finish.
But it got worse, because it'd be like bath night, and it'd be like, you know, well, I'm sure we'll get on to what was on in the evening, but it was like, it was just boring.
But why were Sundays so shit? Was it
because it's school the next day.
Yeah, but, like, why ruin a whole day because you got school the next day? But I still fucking get that. If I've got something, you know, like, if you've got something you're fucking dreading doing, and you put it off. So I left my accounts this year to the last day. I left my accounts right to the last day, to January the 31st. Because I just fucking dreaded doing them. And then, like, the minute I fucking finished doing my accounts, I'm dreading the following year's accounts. And that's what Sundays used to be like. You're fucking dreading school so much, you spend a whole day fucking wasting it because you're going to school the next day.
Absolutely, completely agree. And telly didn't help. So you'd wake up and, like, at 9 o'clock on ITV, Simply Sewing.
I've put a what's in it, really inopportune moment.
It ain't a normal what's it, it's the new giant what's it.
No, everyone's thinking, why is it taking him so long to finish that what's it? But giant what's it, they're fucking enormous, aren't they?
Yeah. It is the King Dong of the baked snack.
I was just thinking that.
Simply Sewing, then Doctor. And then at 10 o'clock, Morning Worship. At 10:30, Celebration. 11 o'clock, Link. I mean, that is all horrific television for a kid. Thankfully, at 11:30, Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy.
Oh, that was so good. So good. Like, how good was Mork?
Yeah.
Mindy was a salt.
Yeah. Like, it had everything, didn't
it? Yeah, it really did. Amazing theme tune.
Yeah, it just, I love theme tunes like that. That just fucking, it made you feel nostalgic about it while you were still watching it.
Oh, exactly. Great shot. Yeah, it really was, wasn't it? Coming, Arson. Then instantly, they just fucking pulled a rug from under you. Weekend World. Can you remember that?
No.
I remember the credits to Weekend World being something like really serious. And it felt like sort of thing that, like, Chris Morris had pastiche now. Like, then Babylon, Look Here. And then I always remember kind of pre-Smurfs and stuff like that. There used to be, like, Sunday telly, there was a bit, like, kind of post-roast.
Yeah.
That you'd get something half-decent. You've got 15 minutes called Cartoon Time. And I'd love to think that that would have been, like, Daffy Duck or, like, you know, Sylvester or... You know, something good.
Yeah, a bit of Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that would have done. But I bet that would have been something like Watu Watu Superbird or like Batfink. Something really fucking rubbish.
Oh, Batfink was all right.
Was
it? Well, Wings Like a Shield of Steel.
Yeah, it was like, like, I remember thinking that. Can you remember, because I've had this conversation with a few people, you used to get like the Smurfs.
Yeah.
And then you'd get Joni Loves Chachi, the kind of spin-off of Happy Days. Can you remember Chopper Squad?
Sounds like one of your old man's DVDs. I found it on top of my mum and dad's wardrobe.
Chopper Squad was fucking brilliant.
What was Chopper Squad?
It was like a helicopter rescue thing from Australia. It was just a load of proper blokes with like kind of stubble, beards and like short shorts, just like doing like real cool shit in a helicopter under the guise of Chopper Squad.
I'm a bit worried about your fucking Chopper Squad, blokes in tight shorts and fucking Anton fixing his motorbike.
Survival, Police Five. Remember Police Five?
I do, yeah.
Hey, keep them peeled.
Joe, one of my favourite things was fucking seeing on the market in Grays a little round of leather jackets with a sign on top saying, as seen on Police Five.
Comedy.
Yeah.
6:30, Chips.
Chips was fucking great, wasn't it?
What a theme tune. Like, but... See, I've gone back and explored the theme to Chips. Takes a while.
Hold on, give me the theme tune to Chips.
Well, it's like loads of kind of like... Dim-dim-dim-dim-dim-dim-dim-dim-dim-dim, and it's like kind of like building you up until you just get them rocketing off, John and Punch. Ba 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 da da ba 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 ba. Fucking brilliant.
It's worth it, though, and it's worth the wait.
You're doing front rolls around your front room, ain't you?
Yeah.
The testosterone that you've got at that age is through the fucking roof.
It was like... great, Chips, though. And that was one of the ones it teased you with the characters, didn't it, in the intro? Yeah.
Love that. Followed by The Muppet Show.
Yeah, nothing to matter with The Muppet Show.
Nothing to matter with The Muppet Show. Then it's just rubbish. ITN News, your 100 best hymns. I mean, a sharp intake of breath. I don't know what that is. And then Heart to Heart, murder. Like,
when they got together, it was murder.
I remember wanting to stay up.
And this is their dog, Freeway.
That dog's dead.
Yeah. I went to see Sam Simmons, the comedian, in... at one of his live shows, and he just got out this book of kittens, 1978, and he went, it's just a book of dead kittens. Dead, 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 dead.
That's it. It's like, I kind of find out now, if you watch anything retrospective of animals, I just think, oh, we're dead.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point getting upset about it now, because they are actually dead.
Would that make a YouTube clip, dead dogs, and just show loads of dogs from old TV shows? Fred Bassett. Hong Kong Fooey. All dead.
Digby.
Deadby.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I remember always wanting to stop late and watch Heart to Heart. But I think if I was ever a lad, I remember just thinking, don't really get it.
What time was it on?
7:45. Sunday night, school night, mate. Followed by the news. Yeah, and then the Bing Crosby golf tournament. BBC One, equally as shit, if not shitter.
No, BBC One's a lot shitter. Mm. You've just done ITV, so you've peaked too soon.
Yeah. Heads and Tails, that was lovely.
Oh, Heads and Tails was good.
Bit of Derek.
Derek Griffiths was there more of a good bloke in the whole 80s than Derek Griffiths.
Do you know what? I reckon Brian Cant was a good bloke. But I don't think... I reckon Brian Camp would kind of... He'd nip for a piss when it was his round, right?
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, where's Brian? I reckon Griffiths would just be like, I saw, I'll get him.
Yeah. He'd be up the ramp again, wouldn't he, without a second fault.
Yeah. I mean, it's just rubbish. Your Own Business, followed by The Handicap Family, followed by Right Away, then Your Move, Contacity... Make Your Own Furniture. I mean, how bad was telly then?
Was that BBC Two?
BBC One.
Fucking hell.
Training Dogs the Woodhouse Way, Farming, Tom and Jerry, Young Scientist of the
Tom
Year.
Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the peak, that's the peak.
And that was probably like made in 1935 or something.
Holiday. Oh, now this is taking me back. Holiday would have just been like some kind of... middle-aged woman. Just
was that Judith Chalmers?
No, she done... Was that Holiday? No, she done... What was her show called?
Wasn't that called Holiday?
No.
Wish You Were Here.
Wish You Were Here, yeah. Like, Holiday, I mean, it would have just been like a poor man's version of that. Mm. It would have been like fucking...
I always thought Pink Floyd missed a trick not getting her to do guest vocals live.
Yeah, massively. So you wish. Yeah. the Sunday film. And then, yeah, 9:30, That's Life. I remember, like, thinking that was something I really wanted to watch.
I think my mum and dad used to let us stay up a little bit later than you. You went to bed about 6:15.
I remember once, right, I had green curtains that, like, blacked out no light. And I remember, I don't know what time it was, but I remember going to bed and it was, like, broad daylight. And I remember, like, hearing all my mates out in the road playing. And I remember just thinking, fucking hell. Like,
if you were such an annoying cunt, your mum couldn't wait to see the back of you. That's why they got your blackout curtains and put your bed at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, dear. Right, so let's get on to BBC Two then. Open University, Ireland, a television history, Ski Sunday.
Ireland, a television history. I mean, I love Ireland and I love the Irish people. You know, big shout out to all our Irish male listeners between 47 and 49, which are our demographic. I got an email from a bloke the other day who's actually 49 and a half, so our demographic is expanding.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if you watched the Money programme that was on. Can you remember that?
Nah.
I remember it was just like a load of fucking boring cunts banging on about like probably the financial sort of structure.
It sounds tedious, doesn't it?
Just rubbish. It was honestly, everything on there was...
Tom and Jerry's the only thing on two channels of BBC broadcasting, their heads and tails, for kids.
Yeah.
Fucking really no wonder you hated Sundays. It's bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
What time are you at the moment?
Yeah, that was like 9 o'clock. I got to 9 o'clock at night. We're pretty much done on that. One of the other things that was on telly then as well, and it was actually the Masters, the Benson Edges Masters in 1981, the snooker tournament. And 1-3-6 break by Mr. Terry Griffiths. So to give you a bit of background on this, the number of invited players have been raised to 12, which saw Steve Davis make his Masters debut.
Oh, I wonder whatever happened to him.
No idea. Alex Higgins reached his fourth consecutive Masters final by defeating Cliff Thorburn. Despite being trailed 1.5, he won 6-5.
I think despite being extremely pissed.
Yeah. Then he reversed the result of the 80s final against Terry Griffiths. Right, so from that, Alex Hurricane Higgins won it. Is it a sport?
Yes. That's the end of that one. Next. Yeah, of course it's a fucking sport because it takes skill and practice.
Lager.
You don't have to fucking run around to do snooker, but it's something you practice and work at, and it's a skill that normal people don't have.
So's drawing.
Yeah, but it's different, isn't it? Because you're not playing up against someone when you're drawing.
Maybe.
You're not competing against other athletes. Of course it's a fucking sport, snooker. And, if you really think snooker ain't a sport, I'll take you outside, I'll snap one of them snooker cues in half and fucking wrap it round your head, you fucking pedantic cunt.
Did you ever have a snooker cue? I was never one of them blokes, like, my dad had one, but I don't think he'd ever really let me, take it out, because there was people, I remember people like Gal.
Yeah.
He'd
have had one when he was like 14, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
In two halves.
Yeah. In a little case. And he would have wandered down the Sportsman, played snooker and had a couple of pints.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, I wish I could go somewhere and play snooker and have a couple of pints.
Yeah, but we never had any pubes till we was about 24. So they'd have said, where's your pubes? We'd have fucking showed them our little fucking boulders and they'd have gone, get out. For the listeners, he's just held up a what's it.
But I remember going to the Sportsman. So the Sportsman was like a snooker club. And we walked past it the other day, didn't we? Had a little look through the window. Yeah. And it's really weird because it was like, it was such a thing back then, and I'm sure there's still a huge fraternity of people that still love playing snooker in snooker clubs, but it just become this thing where, like, you got, like, a membership card, and it was like, fucking hell. Like, because at that time, no one had anything to put in their wallet, certainly not money. You had your national insurance card, and that was about it, wasn't it? And maybe a phone card. But I remember, like, someone had, like, a...
Video membership card.
Video membership card, yeah. And, like, you know, you had a membership card, the Sportsman, and it was like, yeah, just go down there, you know. Yeah, it's all right, you know, I might have a couple of frames, have a couple of pints. And it's like, what? Like, I was still, like, playing Star Wars, and, like, and it was like, fucking hell. Yeah,
of course you was. You had the Millennium Falcon, you cunt.
Like, we were quite late developers, weren't we?
Yeah, but I think we just enjoyed being kids, didn't we?
Because I know Gal's listening to this, and, like, but Gal was one of them blokes that, like, your dad would have a conversation with.
Yeah.
Like
well, he ended up working for my dad and being one of the blokes, didn't he? Like,
yeah. My dad, like, sees him all the time now, and he's like, yeah, yeah, caught up with Gal the other day. Yeah, he stood out in the road having a chat for about an hour, and he's like, he was doing that at, like, 14.
Yeah, he had stuff to talk to your parents about, didn't he? Because they all had pubes together.
Oh, I remember, like, you know, obviously we had our mate Craig, didn't we? And he had, like, pubes, like, when he was well young.
Nine. I did estimate at nine.
Like, I remember, like, at school, like, if it was, like...
Because Craig, we was all just playing war, weren't we, over the woods.
Yeah.
And he had a piss and just got his cock out. And just remember going, like, whoa. Like, full on throw, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a proper, like, dad's plonker, didn't he?
Yeah, like, it was like a little bit of feedback from the microphone when he got his cock out. Like, he had a thick bass, didn't he, like your dad?
Yeah. And like...
Not your dad.
But, like, yeah, and I remember, like, especially at school and stuff, and it was like, right, yeah, going in the showers, and it's like, I mean, does that still happen? Do people still have to, like, at school, do they all have showers together? Because, like, it feels like that's wrong now. But, like, I remember at the time not being comfortable with it and just thinking, there's blokes over there that have got, like, fucking, like, stubble. And it's like, I ain't one of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to fucking get in there with butter mushroom because it's like, it's going to be horrible. And, like, somehow I managed to kind of keep myself, like, covered to the point where, like, no one ever went, oh, you ain't got no pubes. But, like, you know, and obviously, like, Lee was, like, obviously a Greek Cypriot, like, so he, you know, he was very dark-skinned, and, like, so he seemed to mature a lot quicker than us as well, and had, like, definitive stubble, and,
yeah,
like, and was just a bloke.
Yeah, like, he was shaving when he was about four, wasn't he?
Oh, do you know what? I remember just thinking, oh, I wish, like, I wish I had some pubes.
Yes, I remember just looking at my cock and thinking, I wish I had some pubes. I wouldn't have done anything with them. I just wanted some.
Oh, dear. Cliff Thorburn would have had some pubes.
Cool, mate, yeah.
Yeah, I remember just, like, did you used to watch snooker?
I did used to watch snooker, like, because I think my granddad was interested in it. So, you know, going from wishing we had pubes to my dead granddad briefly, it's what he would have wanted. Like, yeah, he watched the snooker, and because we went round my nan and granddad's on a Sunday, we'd have watched the snooker. And so, like, all them snooker finals, you know, and the Steve Davis and Dennis Taylor one, we'd have watched all them, you know, and Cliff, I remember Cliff Thorburn being, like, slow, you know, and, you know, a slow player that took his time over the table. And obviously, Hurricane Higgins being the opposite, you know, just kind of bull at a gate kind of thing.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I watched a documentary on the on BBC iPlayer about Hurricane Higgins a little while ago. Got the impression he wasn't that nice a person.
Right. I've read his autobiography.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean... But he's one of these kind of troubled geniuses, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But I think like all the kind of Dennis Taylor thing, that felt a little bit later than that, I think. Like,
so what would that have been, like mid-80s?
Yeah, I think so. I might be wrong. So did you, was like visiting your grandparents, was that like a Sunday ritual?
Yeah, that was like, we did that every Sunday because me nan and granddad lived in Averley. And so we'd drive over there. And my nan would do a salad every Sunday night, like pilchard salad, have that. And she used to get these white crusty rolls and just put loads of butter on them. It was just fucking like, yes. I remember one time, I'd been to Craig, who we just talked about, who had the pubes, didn't know at the time. I'd been to his birthday party and my mum picked us up from there. And so we went to my nan and granddad's a bit later. And... my granddad and my nan were always like, they were just a bit critical of the way my mum did things. Like, I think because they were like staunch working class, lived in a council house, and my mum's family were aspirational working class, I think there was always that kind of, you know, just don't quite, the balance ain't quite right. And so my mum picked us up from Craig's house, and we went over, drove out, my nan and granddad's in Averley, and we're all sat there having our pilchard salad. And my nan had these chairs. Sorry for that over graphic detail, but I have to just explain. My nan had these chairs with chrome legs. And I remember, like, it always felt really nice just like moving your feet up and down the chrome legs of the chairs. And my granddad went, "Can you smell something?" And my nan's like, oh, right? And he went, oh, and he's looked round, right? And I've just basically smeared dog shit up and down the legs of this chrome chair. And he went, "Did they have a dog at that party?" And my mum went, "They have got a dog." And he went, "Oh, you're picking him up from this party where they got this dirty dog and he smeared crap all up the legs of the chair, like just done his nut, right?" And they've followed the footsteps of the shit, expecting them to lead to the front door, and they haven't. They've led behind the curtain. And it turned out their cat had crapped behind the curtain. And I used to have this little corner of the room where I went to play, and I'd played in the corner, trod in the cat crap, and then like, so my granddad had to sit there quietly and finish his salad, having a, you know, like accuse someone first, then, you know.
Oh, brilliant!
Did you have a Sunday ritual at all while we?
No, it's really weird because I speak to my missus and she. You know, we'd always go to her nan's and things like that. We would go and see my nan. But it wasn't like a ritual thing. It wasn't like every week. I just remember Sundays just being... My dad used to go shooting every Sunday.
Oh, did he shoot clay pigeons?
Yeah. And so I think when I was quite young, like, he used to take me to there. And it was up the 128, opposite the Dog and Partridge pub.
Oh, no, yeah. Because when we, my mum and dad would go for a drink there, and us as kids would go and explore, like, all round the back, and you'd always find these clay pigeons. We didn't know what they were at the time. Like, they look like little bowls, didn't they? Yeah. And you fucking turn them upside down.
So we used to go over there. Like, I used to go over there, and I'd just sit there and just, like, watch him just kind of every sort of fifth person do his shooting. probably with like a pair of big headphones on because it was really loud.
Yous were fucking posh. Millennium Falcon, my dad did shooting.
But I remember just like really not wanting to like be there, like, because it was really boring. And there was like a caravan there where you get like a polystyrene cup of tea. And like, and obviously as a kid, you don't want a cup of tea, do you? You want a can of Coke.
Yeah.
And like, and I'd just be sitting there just kind of drinking that. And in the end, like, I mean, this does make me sound sport. My dad bought me a shotgun and I was about 10. And so, yeah, I would go over there with a single barrel 410 shotgun. And I'd be like the sort of the sixth bloke in the queue that had kind of had pop shots at this clay pigeon, and so I remember like we'd done that for years, like
until you took it apart and ended up with two screws left over and fucked it.
but yeah, I remember sort of that, and then coming home and like there was always like the smell of a roast on a Sunday.
Yeah,
but like. I remember not really giving a shit about roast dinners, and I still don't. Like, I don't.
Oh, really? Yeah. I fucking love a roast dinner.
Do you?
Like, I would have a roast dinner every single day of the week.
Really?
I fucking love a roast dinner.
I
suppose you just kind of, you just equate it with having to go to bed at 2:30 with the blackout curtains.
Oh, can I start for a chopper squad? Go to bed. I remember, like, bath night, that was ritual. Like bath night, and then like coming down in my gym jams and watching whatever the Gloria Hunniford show was called, like where it was some kind of really average chat show that was on about 6 o'clock. Watching that, maybe watching like Heidi High, and then like, no, it was High Away, then Songs of Praise. And I remember having to, my dad loved watching Last of the Summer Wine back then.
Oh, really?
And it just, all of that stuff, just, it's just so boring.
Yeah.
And like, and you watch this boring stuff, and all you've got to look forward to is going to school the next day.
It's poxy, isn't it?
Fucking rubbish. I tell you, right, let's finish on this story, because what a fella. February the 26th, 1981. Joey Coyle, an unemployed longshoreman in Philadelphia, was driving behind an armoured car when all of a sudden its doors opened and two bags of money fell out. Joe retrieved the bags and then pulled over, explored them to find that he was in possession of $1.2 million in cash.
Fucking hell.
Over the next 6 days, he either gave it away or spunked $196,000 before being caught by the FBI. And he was later acquitted of theft, and his story was the basis for the 1993 film Money for Nothing. What a fucking geezer.
If that had been in Ireland, the film would have been called It Fell Off the Back of a Lorry. Do you know what? That was my absolute fucking dream.
Oh, imagine it.
When you used to live down Thurrock Park, and I used to walk back up the dual carriageway home, I'd just fucking dream that one day I'd see a shoebox there and open it up and it'd have like $45,000 in.
Oh.
It was never $50,000. It was always just like... just thousands of pounds. Not as much as $50,000. Not greedy. Yeah. But just thousands of fucking pounds.
Not life-changing, but fuck me, you could have a good time.
I don't know. I think in the 80s that might have been life-changing. Yeah,
true. What's the most you've ever found?
It ain't that much. I found 23 quid. Just like, because it was a 20 pound note and a few pound coins on, you know, as you kind of walk up the hill out of Grays on that on the bank that was where the allotments were. Yeah. That they're going to fucking build on now, on that bank there, it was just there, like someone had obviously, I don't know whether they'd sat there and had a cuddle with their bird and it just dropped out of their pocket.
Oh, what a day.
I know, like, if you find, you know, it's good. I used to fucking love finding money, but it never happened, you know, like I find a few quid. What's most you found?
I went to the secret nuclear bunker.
In Kelvin Hatch.
Yeah, the secret one, yeah.
Sorry. I'll edit that out.
Have you been there?
Mm.
I mean, it's amazing and weird.
I went there when I worked for the youth service. I had to take a party of kids there on the summer scheme. I was CRB, chef, fucking pulling that face like, oh... secret nuclear bunker under 10s.
We have another secret?
One more secret, won't everything down here is secret. Yeah, so we went down the secret nuclear bunker with a party of kids who were kind of aged between, I don't know, like fucking 10 and 13. And there was me and one other youth worker and about fucking 20 kids. And all the signs were saying, don't touch. And what do you do when you're a kid? You just fucking touch everything. And yeah, it was a really unenjoyable day in a really enjoyable place.
Have you been back?
Nah.
Because it's mental, isn't it?
Is it still open?
Yeah. And like, it's, you just go into this front door of this house in the middle of nowhere, and then you just go down this slope into this huge underground bunker, like huge hospital down there, like all sorts of transmission rooms that...
Yeah, it was like a Cold War bunker, wasn't it?
And it looks like they've just shut it, and where the people were, they've just replaced with like creepy dummies. And it's really horrible. But we took the kids there, and... And then as I walked out of there, like, we've got a cup of tea in there, and then there was no one there. You could just, use the kettle on that, and then it was, and have, a Kit Kat, but it was,
that money you found? That was the honesty box.
No, and there was an honesty box. and I remember, putting my money in the honesty box and just thinking, could it just fucking not? And, but I did. And then as I walked out, I was like, oh, it's 20 quid. And I was like, fucking hell, I picked it up. And then I just went, hey, like that in front of me, not my wife or her sister, but my brother-in-law. I was like, hey, look what I've just got. And he was like, oh, fucking hell. And then I went, yep. And as I turned back around to keep walking forward, I see another one. And I was like, hey, 40 quid.
All right, I thought you'd say, then there was another one. And then this net fucking come around and caught us all up in the air.
Just the two. 40 quid, though.
40 quid? Fucking hell. It's nearly doubled my one.
Yeah. So that was... I think that's the most I've ever found. I think I've had a purse once when I was a kid. And, I'm probably, rather than just, take the cash and just launch it, was right, I'll walk to the police station.
I might have been there with you. Yeah. I remember we used to go to the police station at the drop of an hat, didn't we? Like, that fucking... the dodgy phone call. We'd just go to the police and report it. For snitches.
Yeah, was you there? I remember just finding a purse, and it probably had a tenner in it, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think I would have had more fun going to the police station and handing it in than I would have with what I probably would have done with that tenner.
Definitely.
Was you there that time, going back to the smoker's shop, when they were selling off all of their Cadbury's cream eggs and the mint eggs?
I think I was.
And they were selling them off for something like 5p.
Yeah.
And I remember just buying a load of mouldy cream eggs. Because I remember just walking home, just eating all this out of date chocolate, thinking I'd had a right result.
Definitely.
They were
fucking 5p. I remember that now you say that, yeah.
All right, well, I think we've kind of put to bed 1981. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, hopefully, March 1981 will be a little bit more eventful film-wise.
Yeah, we haven't got to go back a year.
Yeah, but at least we know we can.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time, right?
Yeah, see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.